Let's play Whelp Wars! First question, are you doing the work?
I'm gonna go with, like, probably not.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hampton.
And I'm Madison Malone Kircher. You're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture.
Pop the champagne! Happy New Year's, bitches!
We hope you're all recuperating from a fun New Year's Eve. I know we are. There is glitter on the floor after the party, as my close personal friend Taylor Swift would say.
And I'm hungover. I'm assuming y'all are too. So while you clear up the crepe paper, contemplate if you should take those resolutions seriously. Maybe take a little hair of the dog. We wanted to bring you one of our absolute favorite episodes of the last year. It was published on Juneteenth, and it is all about the word woke.
In it, we explore the decades-old origin of the word woke and what people actually mean when they use it, and how the internet has, shocker, completely warped its meaning in recent years. Basically, it's a history lesson that could help inform your New Year's resolutions.
And the New Year's resolution should maybe be, just stop using the word woke. Or at least use it correctly.
Without further ado, here's You're Using Woke Wrong.
On today's show, we're going to be talking about the word that's on the tip of everyone's tongue these days. Even our listener, Nora, who wrote in asking about this. Thanks for writing in. That's right. We're finally talking about wokeness, wokeism, the wokerati, woke-a-cola.
Not woke-a-cola.
I didn't even come up with that one, I swear.
Well, I'll tell you this, guys. We have finally done it. We have reached peak wokeness.
It's infecting our schools. It's infecting our culture.
Woke recruitment propaganda.
Most people aren't ready to sign up for woke politics integrated into every aspect of their lives.
We are going to today, as Caitlyn Jenner recently tweeted, wake the woke. I'm just fucking kidding, because that's a nonsensical fucking sentence. Shouldn't we be putting the woke back to sleep?
Some very bad metaphors aside, the word woke and the disparate sociopolitical trends that it captures have become perhaps the clearest fault line in the American culture wars. And we're going to talk about how we got here.
How a word that originated in Black American slang, how did this word turn into a rallying cry for the right? And what do we do now that we're here? In internet parlance, should woke now be canceled? Oof, I'm so sorry I said that. Or can we, and by we, I mean the people who invented the word, salvage any of woke's original meaning? So, Madison, we have to start off by asking, as the token white woman of this podcast, where did you first hear the word woke?
So, absolutely earlier than this, because in my mind, the timestamp on this is certainly too late for woke's growth and digression in cultural vernacular. But the thing that immediately comes to mind is Matt McGorry. The Orange is the New Black actor, yeah. Who then, like, rebranded himself as woke bae internet boyfriend.
Oh my God.
Proto feminist dude.
The phrase woke bae just unlocked so many, like, BuzzFeed listicles. Yes. Of, like, yes. Hassan from, like, the Young Turks. Like, oh my God.
I'm not saying that, I just Googled and the first thing that comes up is, can we talk about how woke Matt McGorry was in 2015? Thank you, BuzzFeed.com. That's the last we're going to talk about it. I assume you're going to walk me a little bit further back than where my broken brain stopped in 2015, yeah?
Yeah. We're going to take a long, approximately centrally long tour, even though most people's, and by most people, most white people's introduction to the word woke was post-Ferguson in 2014 in the uprising that sprang out of the murder of Michael Brown. Stay woke then became a rallying cry as protesters were tear gassed in the street. And it became this rallying cry. But it's a phrase that had been used in Black communities for years before the emergence of Black Lives Matter. And so before we really kind of get into all that, I really want to give a shout out to Aja Romano at Vox. They wrote this incredibly detailed essay on the origins and history of woke in 2020. And I will be citing that extremely heavily here because it's just like, you ever just read a piece and you're like, wow, the research, the effort that went into this, I can see it just on the page. And so thank you so much.
The pieces that let you sleep better at night because you know you'll never have to take up the mantle because it's already been nailed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But according to Romano, the earliest known examples of wokeness as a concept kind of revolved around the idea of Black consciousness, quote unquote, waking up to a new reality. And this dates back to the early 20th century. And here Romano cites a 1923 call from none other than Marcus Garvey, who I'm not going to tell you who that is. You can look it up. And in this kind of collection of aphorisms, Marcus says, "Wake up, Ethiopia, wake up, Africa." And it's this call to his listeners and to his readers to wake up to the kind of reality of what Black life is in 1920s America and in 1920s global politics writ large.
So there's a real disconnect between these original, very literal waking up roots of the word woke you're describing. What is like the next turn of the screw?
So the next kind of usage of woke is in 1931. It's used in a song by blues musician Huey Ledbetter, better known as Leadbelly. He uses it while he's kind of explaining the origins of a protest song he wrote about the Scottsboro Boys. And the Scottsboro Boys are 9 Black teenagers who are accused of raping 2 white women. The song is appropriately called The Scottsboro Boys.
Woody, Alabama, and you better watch out. The landlord gets you gonna jump and shout. Scottsboro Boys, they tell you what it's all about. Call them landlords if they get you, boy, they gonna hang you. Woody, Alabama, and you better watch out. The landlord that gets you gonna jump and shout.
So while doing this interview about this song, he says the phrase stay woke, which is maybe one of the earliest instances of the phrasing that we are now seeing in 2021 kind of being bastardized across the internet.
And he showed me the scars, but boy, I shake hands with him, so I made this little song about down there. So I about to be a little careful when they go along through that, but stay woke, keep the eyes open.
Leadbelly's warning here is like extremely vital to understanding the kind of origins of the word woke. It is not this kind of state of constant political perfection, which I think is how a lot of people think of it these days. Staying woke.
Twitter.com.
Twitter.com. Not just Twitter.com. Like the highest places of like cultural production, the New York Times, like
Caitlyn
media,
Jenner's brain,
SNL, Caitlyn Jenner. Like people fully believe that wokeness is a political ideology, when if you look at what Leadbelly is kind of speaking to right now, it's a means of protection. It's a call to Black Americans to be aware of the many dangers of white America and extrajudicial racial violence, which were just rampant in 1931 and continue to be rampant in many ways. And so it's a warning. It's a call. It's not stay woke, as in you will know everything about any given topic at any given time. It is, in fact, saying you constantly need to be looking for new information and processing new information so that you can stay alive.
What you're describing is the mainstreaming of woke, but it seems like the word hasn't totally broken through yet. When would you say like it really becomes a mainstream term?
So really, really mainstream, probably around like 2014, as I kind of said at the beginning. But the first kind of glimpse of it going mainstream is in 1962. With a New York Times piece by a Black novelist named William Melvin Kelly. And the piece is titled, "If You Woke, You Dig It. No Mickey Mouse Can Be Expected to Follow Today's Negro Idiom Without a Hip Assist," which I love how long that title is. Let's bring back 27 word headlines. And so, as Romano notes, this piece is ironically about how white America appropriates and bastardizes Black vernacular.
The call is coming from inside the house.
Like, very prescient, but also just really indicative of how not new any of this shit is. And sometimes it's funny, but sometimes it's deeply insidious, including the way people use woke, which is now a way to kind of gesture at the community the word comes out of without explicitly saying so. Kelly, the writer who wrote that piece in the New York Times, also kind of makes an interesting point about the kind of subterfuge that's inherent in a lot of Black vernacular. And Kelly writes, the language was used primarily for secrecy, exclusion, and protection. If your master did not know what you were talking about, he could not punish you, and you could maintain your ignorance or innocence. And that may be one of the reasons why woke kind of flew under the radar for so long between these usages in 1920 and 1962 and where we are now in 2021.
So that's the 60s. Feels like we have a lot of ground to cover. What's next? What gets us into the next century?
So next up, 2008, which, yeah, we're going about 40 years into the future. But Erykah Badu releases a song called Master Teacher. And the refrain of that song is, I stay woke.
I stay woke. What if there was no niggas, only master teacher? I stay woke.
In Master Teacher, the phrase stay woke is used to signal at three different things. There's one, which is the very literal meaning, to just like actually just stay awake. And then there's the one which was what was kind of primarily being used on Twitter pre-Ferguson, which is being suspicious of a cheating partner. And then there is the original political meaning of it, which is to stay aware of the ways in which racism and inequality plays out in daily life in America. So before Ferguson, this is kind of the three primary ways that Black people are using the phrase stay woke. But as we turn from like the late 20th to early 21st century into like the 2010s. The kind of last point before we arrive at where we currently are is Ferguson in 2014, which in so many ways was this mass political awakening and radicalization for a generation. I count myself among the people who kind of experienced this political awakening. And it's not like I hadn't been aware. Like, I had gotten the talk growing up from my parents. Like, my parents kind of actively instilled in me a kind of wariness of America writ large. The phrase, you have to work twice as hard for half as much, was kind of a constant refrain in my household. And Trayvon Martin had been killed a few years earlier. And that's what I think is kind of frustrating about the way people talk about woke. It wasn't as if people were just in, if we're gonna carry this metaphor, like asleep before then. It's that this is kind of a moment in which a lot of things become clear, including the way Ferguson was preying on Black citizens to like fill its coffers and giving them like a shit ton of tickets. Like, the Department of Justice finally came in and investigated and found that the way that Black people were pulled over and ticketed in Ferguson was deeply discriminatory and violated their civil rights. And so, like, stay woke in a way is kind of like the confirmation of the things that you are suspicious of. And so in 2014, as people are like spilling out into the street and like tanks are rolling through Ferguson, Missouri, the stay woke hashtag on Twitter kind of stays active for years. I think the moment in which it kind of fully goes mainstream is around 2016, when Childish Gambino uses Stay Woke as a refrain in Redbone, which, banger of a song. That song is then used in Jordan Peele's Get Out. And Jordan Peele says in interviews that he used that purposefully because the kind of point of Get Out is like staying aware of your surroundings that are actively trying to kill you. That's enough history. When we come back, we're going to dive into the deeply exhausting, very contradictory way that woke is now used.
Something to look forward to.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Trust me, you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy, as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and the Stars app.
And we're back. We are going to play a clip from the new Showtime show hosted by Ziwei Fumadome. The show is appropriately called Ziwei, and the sketch is called Woke Wars.
Let's play Woke Wars! First question, are you doing the work?
I'm gonna go with, like, probably not.
I love someone who can say, hey, I'm not doing the work. You.
I would say minimally. You know, my fiance is of Latina descent. She's kind of opened up my eyes to a lot of issues that I wasn't aware of prior to dating her.
Hey, shout out to Latino wives.
So the kind of premise of Woke Wars is a kind of Jeopardy, Family Feud style game, where in which Ziwei asks these hapless white people to know who Shirley Chisholm is and W.E.B. Du Bois. They don't, is the general gist of what's happening here. The way that she's using woke here, which is kind of as a way to gesture at having a specific subset of knowledge that will kind of mark you as woke, is kind of a really pretty accurate representation of where we are right now and how the word is now being used. And I can only assume that it's clearly satirical, since none of this arbitrary knowledge does anything to further equity in real life. Like, yes, you should know who Shirley Chisholm is. You should know who W.E.B. Du Bois is. You should know there is indeed a Negro national anthem, not least because Beyonce played it at Coachella. But it's kind of ultimately arbitrary knowledge in the way that most American history is arbitrary knowledge. And it doesn't really pertain to how you are, quote unquote, doing the work in 2021.
Wait, you mean being able to recognize Colin Powell on sight does not satisfy? Damn.
But how do we get from the way Leadbelly was kind of using Stay Woke, which is this call to action, to woke as this incoherent political ideology and kind of virtue signaling way of moving through the world? None other than SNL.
Your least favorite television production.
You might think I'm joking, but I'm not. And neither is SNL, because it's not funny. SNL did a skit in 2017, which was just a year after Redbone came out, and a few years post-Ferguson. SNL decides to kind of lampoon the idea of woke with this sketch called Levi's Wokes.
I'm me.
I'm unique. I'm woke.
Woke, woke.
I'm woke.
So, why aren't my jeans?
Now they are. Introducing Levi Wokes, sizeless, style neutral, gender non-conforming denim for a generation that defies labels. Levi's heard that if you're not woke, it's bad. So we made these.
This sketch very accurately sums up what mainstream white society think of people who use woke. And this is in, again, 2017. It's this kind of superficial, focused on speaking the right language, and that's it. Like, no connection at all to the actual quote-unquote work. It's this way to kind of hold a moral high ground just by speaking the right words and saying the right words. Which, to be clear, there is a way in which social media has kind of accelerated what's happened to woke. And I think that what the Levi's woke ad is trying to add, whatever, sketch, whatever, is trying to get at is this very real dynamic that's playing out online. Some people might refer to it as quote-unquote virtue signaling. And that's because social media is inherently performative. But social media is also the place where most white people interact with Black cultural production. Since most white people don't have Black friends. This is not just me spouting shit off. There was like a 2014 study that said that most, like, 3/4 of white people have zero Black friends. The thing is, though, if the only place you're seeing Black vernacular is online, you're going to miss most of it. Because the thing about AAVE and most Black vernacular, and like most language in general, is that a lot of it is nonverbal and it's contextual. And so if the only way you're seeing woke is online, you're going to see it as describing a set of easily like repeated behaviors rather than as a kind of way of moving through the world.
Right. And if you're only seeing it online as a white person on the internet, like it'll be contextualized by the spaces that you frequent and by mm-hmm. the people that you write. So like you're getting the usage of the word woke like twice, three times, four times removed.
Exactly. People think that the internet is inherently democratic, and like, yes, sometimes shit filter, like once shit filters up to the top level of popularity, like it's generally about like 6 degrees removed from like its actual creators. And so you might be seeing something that you may not have otherwise had access to because you don't have any Black people in your life that are not like in service positions and being asked, like you have to, you're telling them what to do. But that doesn't mean you know what the fuck you're talking about. And it doesn't mean that seeing BuzzFeed calling like Hassan Piker or Matt McGorry, quote unquote, woke bae is the way that we should be using the word woke. And so what you get from this constant like divorcing and decontextualizing of the word woke is this idea that wokeness is a thing that you can aspire towards, not only aspire towards, but achieve.
Attain, right.
Yeah, exactly. And so you get this really kind of gross performance of racial consciousness that's just like all posture. In this way, woke basically becomes empty on both sides. And by both sides, I mean, I'm only talking about white people here, like both white people sides. So you get white liberals who think—
I'm sing you the song of my people.
Is it Sweet Alabama?
Yeah, right. Whatever the opposite of Lift Every Voice and Sing is.
Sweet Caroline. That's the song I was thinking
Sweet
of. That song
Caroline.
Gets white people fucking hype.
It is Sweet Caroline. You are absolutely correct. You put in the Neil Diamond and we just flock.
But so anyway, woke basically becomes empty on kind of like both sides of the white people aisle. You get white liberals who think by doing a Pepsi commercial that appropriates protest imagery that they are quote unquote woke. Yeah, I brought that back up.
A cursed bridge too far.
And they think that's this way to like acquire woke points. But so this is the white liberal side. The other side is much worse. The white liberal side is annoying and actively harmful in a few different ways. The other side, it smells a little bit like fascism. So around 2017, 2018, I think this is actually kind of where I would assume, Madison, you're kind of getting, I'm assuming you're seeing this happening online as well, is when we're starting to get white people who, again, had just heard this term like maybe 4 years earlier, they start turning against it. And not just turning against it, but turning against the idea of it. Because again, there is no coherent political ideology behind the word woke, and there never has been. But also use your words. Like the people who are using wokeness to capture all these fucking disparate political things happening are mostly writers who should have an ability to be able to tease out what exactly they're talking about. But it is in fact extremely convenient from a cultural war perspective to be able to use a word like woke to signal at approximately 7 different things. And then there's also just the disingenuous of it all, where in which you say that wokeness is a political ideology. You're not talking about anything. You're talking about people who talk about race. And that just immediately brands you as a wokerati, a member of the wokerati. I don't actually know like how people use these words in grammatical sentences.
I don't think they do. Right. I get hung up on the idea that the people lobbing this around in bad faith are also basically being willfully obtuse to the fact that it's like an unattainable state of being. Like no one is asking of anyone to be perfect, to espouse like flawless ideology on everything, to have a working understanding of gender and race and sex theory at all times. You could still be quote unquote woke if you ascribe to how that word works on Twitter in 2021. You could still be woke and say the wrong thing sometimes.
In fact, you probably will. That is how learning and being in the world works. You're gonna fuck up at some point. But obviously, the kind of cancel culture cabal has fully glommed on to woke and turning woke into this catch-all phrase that people can look at and have a kind of hazy understanding of what you're gesturing at is bad for language, perhaps bad for democracy, definitely bad for the culture wars, the new frontier of which is critical race theory, which is going through the same turn that woke already went through.
And when you say going through the same turn, you mean sort of being just reinterpreted and diluted into a toothless, meaningless set of phonemes.
Yeah. I mean, no one knows what the fuck they're talking about when they're talking about critical race theory, besides the fact that someone is talking about race. And every kind of discourse about race is now being termed critical race theory. And critical race theory is unequivocally bad in the modern conservative kind of imagination, as is anything that is termed woke. And so now we're stuck talking about what the fuck wokeness means in 2021 when we should have never been here because it's stupid.
I do really apologize for stepping into the good white person role of like, please give me homework, give me an action item, tell me something I can do.
I mean, lest you think this is all just an online discourse between quote unquote young wokes and everybody else, this shit is spilling into state legislatures across the country who are actively trying to ban critical race theory, whatever the fuck that means. In my home state of Texas, that means that teaching the Texas War of Independence was not about slavery when it in fact was. That falls into the heading of critical race theory. This is something really important and it's going to affect what children are learning for the next few decades at the very least. And so kind of figuring out like the clarity of language in what critical race theory is referring to is very important. So, you know, call your state senators.
And also maybe call your U.S. senators and let them know that making Juneteenth a federal holiday can't be where the quote unquote work stops.
And that is the end of ICYMI, the education podcast.
Reading Rainbow logo. No, but really, that is the show. ICYMI would not be possible without support from our listeners. Slate Plus helps us keep our show going. It means you get to listen to our episodes with no ads, and it costs just $1 for your first month. We'll be back in your feed on Wednesday, so please subscribe. It's the best way to make sure you hear every episode. And please consider leaving us a rating and review in Apple Podcasts and tell your friends about us. They can follow us on Twitter, so can you, at @ICYMI_pod. Our DMs are open for now. Don't make us regret that. But we do really love hearing from listeners. And of course, you can also always drop us a note at icymi@slate.com. Who knows? You might hear yourself on the show.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader and Jasmine Ellis. Our supervising producer is Derek John. Forrest Wickman, Allegra Frank, are Slate's culture editors. Gabe Broth is editorial director of audio. See you online.
Or not. What does fascism smell like?
I don't know.
All right. I thought for a later time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.